friends with him, and we're going to go ahead and welcome him to the stage. He's from Orlando, Florida, is that right? Probably arrived today, and we're so happy to have you and your family and friends here in the Folklife area of the 44th Annual Florida Folk Festival. While we're getting organized for you to come on the stage, I do want to invite all our people here today to enjoy all the different parts of our festival. We have wonderful foods here.
Here today to familiarize those of you who have never heard of Afro-American hemlining. Afro-American hemlining came down through the ages. It was handed down from generation to generation. It wasn't written down. It was handed down. I suppose that's why they call it folklore, because it was my great-grandparents handed down to my grandparents, and my grandparents handed down to my parents. And thanks be to God, one of my parents handed it down to me. Hemlining, as we do it today, is a dying art form, I guess you would call it, because now they're going to gospel and spirituals, and they've modernized singing so much until this art of Christian worship is dying. And some of us are trying to keep it alive. And that's how I became part of the folk life era of Florida folk life. And thank God for the opportunity. And we will give to you what God give us. So you stand by and hold on to your seats. I don't know why, but first hymn, maybe I should tell you more about hemlining. We first received hymn singing from the slave masters. When we were slaves, and at that time, most of the slaves came from Africa. They didn't know anything about serving God the way the Americans serve God. So the slave master would take one, two, or however many he chose, and teach them hymns, or whatever the song was that day. But of that day, it happened to be hymns, because most people then had migrated from England, and that's where hymns originated. For 40 years of my life, I thought hymns originated in America, but they didn't. All the great hymnologists came from England, and that's where they were originally came from. So they, being from England, they taught us hemlining. They taught us call and response. And they would teach it to one person, and this one person would come back and teach it to us as a group. That's why we call it hemlining. But we didn't do it the way we were taught. We changed it a little. And that's where the Afro-American hemlining came in. And we will do it the way my parents taught me. And I'll do the first hymn I'll do. It happened to be my favorite and my mother's favorite. And you take close attention and you'll find that I will give the line and the four of us will sing the song. And if after the first verse, if you'd like to join in with me, you're quite welcome. The first hymn we will sing will be hymn number 406 in our hymn book. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This is a common metered numbered hymn, and it's done this way. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I'm the liner. So that's why I say this. And after I do it again, we will all come in and sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend. Yeah. carry everything to God in my prayer. While I'm privileged to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God. And temptation, is there trouble anywhere?
Have we trial and temptation? Is there trouble?
Courage, take it to the Lord in prayer.
We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Friends so faithful, who will all our sorrow share?
And we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrow. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care?
Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care?
Savior, still our refuge.
forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friend
sufferers. This is my wife, Willise. This is Mr. and Mrs. Daniel, Mr. Daniels and Miss Daniels. We all members of the same church. I'm on the board of deacons at our church, and all of us sing in the choir at our church. And we come this way once a year. This is our third year here. And we enjoyed it immensely. And Miss Demp, Sister Demp's been coming so regular until I asked her to line a hymn for us today, and she agreed. So, Sister Demp, if you will, we'll follow your lead. Get close to the mic so we can hear you.
The hymn I'm going to line is going to be "Guide Me, All That Great Jehovah." Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Guide me.
whom I was blessed to spend some time with before he died. He said this hymn was used as part of the Underground Railroad escape song. He said this song, when they sang this song the way we were singing it, that was telling the people that so many slaves were going to leave tonight, and that "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land," would let them know they was leaving. And they were to cover for them. They were to do whatever they did while these people go. And it said, "Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing streams do flow down by the river." That's where they were going to escape from. That was going to be the place of their embarkation. And we don't read this anywhere, but like I said, it was passed down from generation to generation. And that's why when we call it Afro-American now, but you call it Negro spiritual a long time ago, him. And that's why we changed it, because it had a different meaning than what it was taught to us. And this is another hymn that my mother said was part of the code for the Underground Railway. "Well, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." We had passed over the river, and we were at rest over wherever the Underground Railroad were taking us. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I would slave runner. And on one of those trips from Africa back to England, they had terrible storms, they had hurricanes, And he prayed to God that if he made it this time to back to where he came from, that he would serve him until he died. And for as we know, he did once he got back. And he wrote this hymn because he saw in himself that he had lived a terrible life, and it was amazing. It was amazing that God saw fit to save his soul. And the hymn is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. See, John Newton considered himself a wretch undone, and God saw fit to bring him back to life. And he wrote this hymn and left it here as a testament of his belief. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, because if you'll follow the words of this hymn, you'll see it was written by a man that had misgiving for something he did, and he's thanking God and know it was God's grace. And